Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
You're listening to U105 of the Best, our weekly roundup of the top chat, interviews and banter from Northern Ireland's best mix, U105. U105 celebrated its 18th birthday on Tuesday, so Morris and Denise joined in the festivities by reminding our breakfast listeners of things we have today that didn't exist in 2005. Please be aware, this may make you feel old.
Happy 18th birthday, U105.
Can you believe it? We're an adult.
No, same age as my eldest child.
Indeed, indeed. This day, 18 years ago, I was in the Studio A of U105.
Wow.
This time we were an hour into the programme already. It was Ivan and Richard were on the breakfast show back then. And I just can't believe it's 18. You just want to look up at the clock now, and we have this big digital clock, and the date says Tuesday, 14th of November, 2023. It was 2005 that I was looking up at a similar clock going, oh, 2005. Aww. 18 years later, here we are, my goodness, and no wiser. Older, but no wiser.
Oh, but that must have been lovely, actually. 18 years.
Obviously, we were in the UTV building then, owned by UTV, so they were filming everything as well. It's like a documentary made and all this kind of stuff. So,
Is it on YouTube?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
But yeah, so here we are, 18 years later. Happy birthday to us. No Facebook back then.
No, right now.
No Twitter back then.
We did have phones, of course.
We did have phones. Probably a Nokia brick.
Yeah, no smartphone type thing.
No, I don't think there were any smartphones then. Probably maybe the BlackBerry back in 2005. Mm-hmm. Can't remember. But it's amazing what has happened in 18 years. And it's amazing how much has changed in 18 years, as you say. What were you doing 18 years ago? What do you remember from 2005? Feel free, as we celebrate our 18th birthday today. So 14th of November, 2005. Things that didn't exist.
In 2005?
Taylor Swift.
No.
I'm just saying, well, she did exist, but obviously it wasn't a thing then. Yeah. One Direction.
Of course, One Direction.
All those things. 4G, no such thing as 4G then.
Yeah.
No such thing as YouTube. Now, there's a wild one.
That is a mad one, isn't it?
That didn't start until 2006.
Yeah.
No YouTube till 2006. So we were before YouTube. Unbelievable. No WhatsApp, of course. No Kindle. No iPhones.
Technology's changed everything.
No Airbnb.
Of course.
No Tesla. No SpaceX. No Bitcoin. No Netflix.
Oh.
All the things that we were invented before.
We were still DVDing then, weren't we?
We were still DVDing, very much, yes. So, just DVD. Still down to your Extravision or whatever it was there back then. We've been through a lot, I have to say. Other things that didn't exist on this day, 2005, when we launched. The Kardashians.
Oh, of course, yes.
There were no Kardashians. Well, at least we didn't know about them. Boss. Life was so much simpler then. There were no influencers.
Yeah, there were definitely no influencers.
There were no hashtags.
Of course.
Hashtag really? Yes. Never more apt than today. Happy 18th birthday to the U105. It's our birthday today.
Yay.
Morning, MJ. I was lying in bed listening on the first day to Ivan opening the first breakfast show on the U105, and I still remember the very first song. It was Wavelength. It was, but don't remember who the artist was. Van Morrison. 18 years on, and U105 is still my favourite radio station, says Gillian. Good morning, Gillian.
Thank you
for that this morning. Happy birthday to U105, says Philip in Lisburn. 18 years from my point of view. 18 years ago, there was no joint pain, no reading glasses, no extra chin, no bald spot. What a ride it's been.
Philip, 3 out of 4 of those I've got.
Morning, Philip. Thank you. Morning, MJ. I've been listening since day one. Happy birthday, U105. Every vehicle I get into, I set U105 on the radio, whether it's my car or not. Paddy McCafferty in Belfast. Good morning, Paddy. 18 years ago, there were no 5 grandchildren for me, says Alison McBride. MJ, your boys, Denise, your girls. I think your eldest was just born, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was born at the last sort of day of 2004. Yeah.
There you go. So good morning, Alison. Happy birthday, U105, from Ray, the Chelsea fan. Yes, Ray, there are still 2 of us, me and Carlane. Carlane Stewart were the first on the first day. Can you wish our grandson Jude Abel a happy 8th birthday from Nanny, Granda and Uncle Chris? Jude Abel, happy 8th birthday to you. You share your birthday with us. And also...
And also, Gráinne has mentioned him on the news today. The King is 75.
Charlie, yep.
Yes. The drummer for Blink-182. Now, he is quite a high profile now because he is one of the Kardashians' boyfriend. He's Kourtney Kardashian's boyfriend. He's lots and lots of tattoos.
Who didn't exist before 2005.
That's right. You mentioned them. TB, he would probably be the best known out of Blink-182.
No idea.
Even his first name?
Todd.
Okay, Travis Barker is 48 today. Well, this guy, he is one of a bunch of brothers who are all actors. He played Doctor Who at one point. He was also famously in With Neil and I with Richard E. Grant. P. McG are his initials. And he's 64 today. He was the doctor.
Oh, McGann.
Yes, he's good looking.
Yeah, you know, was it for Paddy, is it? No, don't know.
Try a very common first name with P.
Paul.
There you go. Paul McGann, 64 today. One of Run DMC, who sounds very religious, is 59 today.
Reverend.
It is the Reverend.
Thing. Don't know, can't remember.
Reverend Run. Uh-huh. He's 59. And this actress, she's been since the very start in EastEnders. She's Sharon.
Letitia Dean.
There we go. So Letitia is 56 years old today. So... I love this song so much. She is the blonde singer from Steps. Faye Tozer is 48 today.
Steps, Tragedy. Faye Tozer, 48 today. She was here recently. She was West Side Story, in 42nd Street at the Opera House. She was very good too. So it's our 18th birthday today on the U105, and we're talking about things that weren't around in 2005 when we first started on air. There was no Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter, no YouTube, no Netflix, no Snapchat, no Spotify, my goodness, no Google Maps, no Airbnb, no Android. Android phones hadn't been invented at that stage. Wow. But some things don't change because I just went back to check. And yes, in 2005, we were in the middle of a Northern Ireland Assembly suspension. So it's good to see that some things haven't changed in 18 years. Morning, MJ. 18 years ago, I was in hospital with my 2-day-old son. I will never forget the arrival of Dylan, and neither will my husband, who had to deliver him at home.
Oh, my goodness.
Sandy and Balmain. So good morning to you. So 2 days old, so 12th of November then. Dylan was born. 18 years ago, I was listening to The Breakfast Show on U105, as I have done every day since Stephen, the driving instructor in Cumber.
That's loyalty.
Nobody deserves that much punishment. Morning, Stephen. Happy birthday, guys. Can't believe I've been listening for 18 years, says Slaphead. Yeah, 18 years it is today.
Frank then took a short walk down memory lane with his account of the early days of U105 and how he covered it as part of UTV.
If someone asked you, what were you doing this day 18 years ago? Exactly, this day 18 years ago. This morning, the very morning of the day 18 years ago. Do you have any idea? Suppose if you have an 18-year-old celebrating a birthday today, you'll have a darn good idea. Something as special as that. But it's crystal clear to us what we were doing. And I wasn't working for U105. I was working solely at that time for UTV. At some point, I worked for UTV and U105 together. But that morning, I was sent by the editor who was looking after UTV Live at 5 a.m. to record John Rossborough making the first announcement on U105. And then we were filming Ivan Martin and Richard Young present the first programme on U105. That's 18 years ago today. So I would have just been getting back to the office probably after doing some filming and then being out and about on the road and vox-popping people about what they thought of the first programme they heard on U105 as they were listening in their cars on the way to work and all of that. And we came back and made it into a feature for the evening news. 18 years ago, so many developments, so many changes, so many advances since then. But one thing has been a constant, the success of this radio station. And thank you so much for being part of it.
As well as our birthday, Tuesday was World Diabetes Day. News leader Grainne McKinney told Frank all about living as a type 1 diabetic and how to spot the signs of it in yourself and in others.
This is World Diabetes Day. Now, Grainne, who's been reading it as a news story for some time, personal interest in this one?
Yes, very personal. I'm a type 1 diabetic. I was diagnosed when I was 7, so that's 22 years I've had type 1 diabetes.
I heard one of the guests on the news talking about, was it the four T's? Thirst, or if you're running to the toilet a lot, tiredness, what was the other T?
Thin, so if you'll lose a lot of weight. Yeah. And that tends to happen because your blood sugars are so high, and with type 1 diabetes, it's nothing to do with your lifestyle. They don't really understand why it happens. So, like I said, I was 7 years old, all of a sudden was exhausted all the time, and had lost a lot of weight. And the red flag was sort of raised whenever I was on a day out with my cousins and was running to the toilet, honestly, every 5 minutes. I nearly threw myself out of the car to run into a toilet because... And then at the same time,
you're so thirsty. So you wouldn't have been going thirsty every 5 minutes. So how often?
20 minutes, and that's pushing it.
If your child's doing that, you should really be worried. Yeah,
that's a big cause for concern. The thirst as well. I was running to the toilet a lot, but also could not quench this thirst. I was drinking gallons and gallons and gallons of water. So obviously got home and my auntie said to my mum and... You know, took a couple of days off school and I thought, I don't feel sick. I feel completely grand. Went to the GP and was sent straight to the Royal unexpectedly. So I stayed in there for a week, and this was back, it's all very much advanced now, but back then it was a syringe that you had to take your insulin out of. And my mum and dad were obviously in charge of giving me the injections because I was so young then. So you learn a bit about how to inject yourself and how to take your blood sugars and things. And then you're just sent back into the real world. But your life has completely changed.
How much easier is it now for you, considering there have been advances?
It is much, much easier. I think a huge thing with type 1 diabetes is because people tend to be so young when they're diagnosed, it's hard to take seriously, you know, especially when you go into your teenage years. For years and years, I kind of pretended that I wasn't diabetic and I didn't have to look after myself and tried to get away with that for a big period of time.
And but that's dangerous, isn't it?
It's incredibly dangerous.
Because this can lead to sight loss. It can lead to heart attacks, mm-hmm. can't it?
So the sight loss was what actually was the red flag for me. You're meant to go and get pictures of the back of your eyes taken. And one of the pictures that I got, they said that there was the start of diabetic retinopathy, which basically means the blood vessels in your eyes are being damaged. But mine luckily was caught early enough that I could reverse it. But that was a huge wake-up call. You know, it's so important that you're taking your blood sugars really often, that you're doing the maths and counting out your carbohydrates and taking the insulin to equal those carbohydrates. The biggest thing is, and you've probably noticed it yourself, Frank, that I have a patch on my arm and I can use my phone to scan that and it'll give me my blood sugar readings instead of having to prick my fingers. And that's been the biggest advantage for me.
What about type 2 diabetes then? Is it the same hurdle, or the same hurdles to be jumped?
I can't really speak on type 2 that much because I don't have any dealings with it. The way I see it, they're two pretty much completely different diseases. Type 2, there are lifestyle factors involved there. Genetics play a part as well, but it can be preventable and people can also reverse type 2 diabetes if you make the adequate changes. Type 1, there's nothing you can do. There's no cure, there's no prevention. It's the sort of thing where you just have to wake up every day and it's a whole other thing you have to think about. Obviously, I've had it for 22 years, so it takes up less of my mind than it used to. But, you know, when I think about how young I was, it's a very difficult thing to have to live with. And I always used to say, oh no, it's no big deal, I just get on with it. But it's very, very hard. It is a hard disease to live with. There's loads of responsibility. The consequences of not looking after yourself are incredibly serious. Type 2 diabetes, obviously there are very serious consequences there as well. But I feel like because as well it's so much more common than type 1, there's maybe slightly more, you know, support there potentially. And one thing that it irritates me a little bit, that they're both grouped into the one thing. So people, and I'll read it myself, you know, in the newspapers or whenever I'm going to read a story on the news, that diabetes is all thrown into the one camp, whereas they're two drastically, drastically different diseases.
So my lifestyle could lead to me having type 2 diabetes. If I'm eating too much sugar, too much fat, not getting enough exercise, doing all of the things that people galloping towards their 60s do, and then find that, oh, you've turned out to be diabetic. I just wonder if I need to take steps, or other people need to take steps to ensure that they don't cross that threshold. Maybe we should all give it some consideration. What about you socially? Because some of your friends tell me that, you know, you're good fun socially, and you're not afraid to let your hair down. So, you know, you can have a few drinks and everything.
Yeah, it's all about control. So, like I was saying, when I was a teenager, there was no control there. I was running about out all the time and hardly doing any insulin. The other element of that, and this is especially a thing for young girls who are type 1 diabetic, if you're not doing your insulin, you will lose weight because that's what happens when your blood sugar is out of control. So it's a thing called diabulimia, where you can skip your injections, you'll lose weight, but you know, your eyesight will start to go, you'll feel sick all the time, your hair will start to fall out, your teeth, you'll get gum disease, all these other very serious consequences. But that was a big chunk of my life whenever I was younger and going through university. You know, it was seen as like an easy way out. Now I'm a lot more responsible, and also because I'm so much more open about talking about it now, my friends are really on the ball. So they've come to my rescue countless times on nights out where I've maybe overdone it or my blood sugar has gone low and they've started to notice I'm acting, you know, a bit strange, and they've run to the rescue and got me full fat Coke or something sugary that I can eat, and that'll help restore me back. So without a strong support network, Dermot, my boyfriend, is now so tuned in that he can tell if my blood sugar's going low, he'll know almost straight away. And I like to think that it's not just because I get so moody, but it's probably part of it. You know, you will start acting as if you're drunk. It's the strangest thing. You know, that's why if I ever see someone who, maybe you're driving past someone and they're lying down on the street or it's late at night, I would make a point of going to check on them, just because you never know if someone has had a bit too much to drink, or if there's something under the surface and maybe they are diabetic and their blood sugar's gone low and they've fainted.
Would it be an advantage for people who are diabetic like yourself to have a little tag or a bracelet or something that says I am diabetic?
Yeah, so I did used to have the bracelet and then lost it on a pretty exciting holiday. But the thing on my phone as well, if you tap the side of your phone or if I tap the side of my watch, an emergency alert thing will come up. So say if paramedics are called, they should know to look at that and it'll tell them type 1 diabetic. You know, whenever, if I'm brought to hospital, that's something that all the doctors and nurses would be made aware of. I think it is just another thing that people, because type 2 gets so much focus, people don't really see type 1. I don't think they appreciate how serious type 1 can be. So maybe a bit more publicity and, you know, a bit more education out there about the differences between the two, and also that someone might look completely normal, but if their mood, their behaviour changes suddenly, it might be worth checking in and seeing what's going on.
Absolutely. So if indeed you are feeling tired and you haven't previously been tired, if you're very thirsty, if you're losing weight and you can't explain why you're losing weight, or indeed you're running to the bathroom all the time, maybe you need to go and get a blood test. And if you get the blood test, the doctor will tell you immediately, he or she.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Gráinne, thank you. It is World Diabetes Day. Gráinne is part of our team here at U105.
Carolyn continued the birthday festivities on lunch as she and the Bistro heads reminisced about past presenters and their favourite shows. But where was the birthday cake?
And it is our 18th birthday. Carolyn, it's Gary the taxi driver with Phone a Cab in Lisburn and Belfast areas. Enjoying the show. Very happy birthday to U105. Can't believe the radio station has been going 18 years. Where has the time gone? I know. Tell me about it. Alf the shower doctor was in there as well, talking about the fact that we were on air 18 years. He's working away in Malone today. He said, I forgot to wish you a happy 18th. I think you and Morris were on First Dawn, is that right? Alf the shower doctor, I can remember it as if it was yesterday. So the first show was the breakfast show. Simon Martin was on breakfast, wasn't he? Yeah. He was on breakfast first, and then it was, who was on? It was Ronan Kelly next. Ronan Kelly did the mid-morning show. He was great. He was in the attic and everything, pulling out records and talking about music and all sorts of... he used to do the star signs and everything, Ronan, didn't he? He was great. And then Linda Brands did the afternoon show. You remember that? Good friend Linda. Used to sit between 12 and 3 and do the lunchtime show. And then, what happened at 3 o'clock? Who was on drive? Was Morris on drive, or did that happen later? Remind me. Somebody remind me. Was Morris on drive back in 2005? Nobody knows. And then we had these little 2-hour shows that happened every night of the week. And the specialist shows, like Peter Corey's show. Do you remember Peter Corey used to do the movies? He used to do the movies and musicals between 7 and 9. And then we had Soulfly. Do you remember Soulfly? Thursday night. It was a must listen. Soulfly and Mosquito doing all the Motown and soul and jazzy stuff. They were great too. I loved those shows. And then, wasn't there a 50s and 60s show? John O'Hara presented it. If I'm missing anybody, let me know. It was 18 years ago. And then on a Friday, there was Hedley McGuinness doing the rock show. And then I did the Saturday Night Fever show, which then turned into the Saturday Night House Party. And of course, I did the nighttime show Monday to Thursday back in 2005. I'm asking, I'm throwing this out because I loved that show. It was brilliant. 9 to 12, we had, the listeners were called Nightbirds, and they would tune in every night with their stories and whatever they were up to. And then we would have various guests on. But it was great. Good days, good times. And John Rossborough was the station manager at that time. And every day, even into work, John would bring you into the office for a chat about what you were going to do. Making plans for the programme. We were hungry for it then. It was great. And here we are, 18 years later. Much has changed, of course. Ronan left after a few years. Frank took on the mid-morning show. Linda left. I took over the afternoon show. And then Johnny arrived. to do Drive, and Jerry arrived to do the nighttime show. A lot has happened in 18 years. And we're all still here. But where is the birthday cake? I mean, I can't believe that we're sitting here 18 years old and the boss has not presented a birthday cake. I am raging. I'm raging. Where would I get a cake at such short notice? So we're just reminiscing about the good old days, back whenever John Rossborough was station manager and U105 went on air 14th of November 2005. So let me get it right. So it was Ivan and Richard, of course. They kicked it all off on Breakfast. Then it was Ronan Kelly. Then it was Linda Bryans on Lunchtime. And then it was Morris on Drive initially. And you're quite right whenever you come in. DJ Rob reminded me that George Jones then took over Drive. Morris went to Breakfast. There was a bit of moving about. Frank then went on mid-morning and I took over the Lunchtime show and called it the Bistro. That's right. I called it the Bistro and now look at it. Jam-packed with Bistro heads. Like you. Graham says, I was introduced to U105 on the day the wee cub was born, nearly 11 years ago. That's mad. The midwives had U105 on the radio and haven't looked back, says Graham. Well, there you go. That's how Graham found us. When and how were you introduced to U105? That's what I would like to know. So let me know. We are celebrating our birthday and we're looking back on the good old days. And I'm wondering, did we ever have in the bistro any nightbirds that used to check in to the nighttime show back in the day? Let me know. Just reading your stories of when you started listening to U105. Ed and Dee say, happy birthday, Carolyn. First introduced to the house party on Saturday evening about 2008. We used to do the markets in Clogher and Cookstown, listen on the way home, then turn the radio on in the house, have a few drinks, get to bed early for Nuts Corner on Sunday. We both had full-time jobs at the time. No wonder we're both knackered now. Doing all that at the weekend and working full-time. Ed and Dee, good afternoon and thank you for listening. Shawnee and Roisin, 18 years and still here with us. They've been listening from the very start. Eileen Downpatrick says, happy 18th birthday. You have all gotten me through some really hard times in these years, including the 8.5 months I lay in the Ulster Hospital. So have a great day. Eileen, thank you very much for that and for the wee meme as well. So how long have you been listening? Anybody else listening from day one? Like Shawnee and Roisin, let me know. Carolyn, can you play a wee song for my granny Maureen? She listens every day and also says, happy birthday, U105. So hello, Maureen. Thank you so much for your ears and your granddaughter, Laura, for checking in with us today as well. Who else was checking in? Sending birthday wishes. Jean, Holly and Rodney checking in with us. Hello to you. Also, Jim and Alfie the dog out for a dander today. Minnie Mouse, thank you very much for all your birthday wishes. Oisin in Belfast too. Lady Derriachy, Jamesy in Jordanstown, and Jeff the postie who sent the picture of Dairy Milk Caramel, better than a cake, he says, I am raging that there's no cake. You can't have a birthday without a cake. Are we all in agreement on that? So where's the cake? Where is it? Not a sign of it. So I may run out and get one for Johnny coming in because he'll not be happy either. He likes a wee bit of cake with his tea. He'd be raging. Simon, hello to you and the wee fat spark. I'm checking in with us too. Anybody that I missed, I'm sorry, a lot of messages coming in today and I'm just trying to get myself through them all. Sinead says, Goldie, I remember you on at night with the Nightbirds and Paul Boyd with his spinning wheel. That's right. Paul used to spin the wheel Friday and Saturday nights, didn't he? Happy birthday. Thank you very much. Ray the Predator says, congratulations, Carolyn. Big 18, hey? First time we met, you were dressed up as your icon, guitar in hand. It was a super night. Me and Ali and the guys at the Four Winds Halloween do. My sister let me know that you were the one and only Goldie from U105. Would have been Carolyn at that stage. Goldie didn't arrive until a few years back. But yeah. What a journey I've had since then. Always nice to meet you. Same right back at you, Ray. Always good to see you. Donna from the Glens of Gormley says, Goldie, big shout out to our wee son, Oran, and the cast of Hansel and Gretel. Oran is playing Hansel. They're having so much fun rehearsing for this fantastic show. Donna, I know what I'm loving? Watching your son grow and develop and hone his craft. Every time you sent me a picture, he's doing something different. And he's doing so well as a great actor. So long may that continue. I tell him we were all asking for him. Happy birthday, Goldie, to everybody at U105. Give Simon a big shout out. Tell him, love him to the moon and back from his space monkey. Don't ask. Don't ask. What I'm asking is, how long have you been with us? Stephen and Lurgan, I've been with you from day one. So you have, Stephen. I've watched you grow and develop over the years. Happy 18th, U105, and you, Goldie. You can have your first drink now. Your first legal drink. Thanks very much, Rosine. Appreciate that. Might have a wee glass of fizz later to celebrate. I'm not having it here because we're not even a bit of cake.
Tax evades, town names, drunken reptiles and overpriced drinks. Drive is never dull when Johnny and Linda get around the mic. Laugh along with them for the next 10 minutes and let us know what you call your favourite Northern Irish spots in the comments.
Okay, you're listening to U105 Drive with me, Johnny Hero, and we got our Linda in. Hello.
Hello.
You tread water there. I'm trying to fix something that I've messed up.
Okay.
So go ahead.
So for
now, go.
Holy sausage, you won't give me enough time. All right, so I was reading about a taxi driver in Delhi who provides...
Excuse me.
Is that it?
London, Delhi. Go ahead, go ahead.
In Delhi, who provides snacks and juices to customers, is that something you think that would transfer to here?
Taxi driver gives drinks and all to customers?
Snacks and juices to customers.
What's in getting into a taxi on your way home? Maybe a 10p mix-up and a bottle of Coke.
Aye, all right, so.
And a couple of Anadin for the morning. My head's going to be busting.
Well, I mean, how would that... That couldn't even transfer over here, could it? I mean, if it had... Even if you're...
Snacks.
No, if you... Imagine it had...
Mate, if you got a ham bap...
No, if you know? If it had been years ago when there was about 11 people in the back of a black taxi, imagine them all, right? What did you want?
It didn't grow, but I wanted a taxi with the menu and all, you know? And I'm sure taxi men would love that. There's a food line everywhere. And, oh. By the way, we said this sort of Delhi, London Delhi thing.
Yeah.
Right. And...
you've gone off on
what do you
now.
Call the place... Go up the north coast there, and you go through White Abbey. Mm. Then you come to a big town with a castle.
Is that the north? But I'm only saying.
Yes.
I'm only saying, yes.
So go through White Abbey, and then you come to the big town that has a castle. What do you call it?
Carrickfergus.
Right. I was waiting on you saying Carrick.
Right.
Because people shorten it to Carrick.
I would normally say Carrick.
Well, why didn't you then? Putting on your radio voice.
Well, what was that? Did I ruin a joke or something?
Yes. Because you would always say Carrick, right? Same as you go to that town, Ards.
Yes.
You say Ards.
Yes.
You don't say Newton Ards.
No.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So why do we only do it with those? Of course, we shorten Derry. Some people shorten Derry. London Derry.
Well, you can't call Lisburn.
No, but Lisburn's one word, right? Mm. For instance, Ballyclare. Mm-hmm. You don't call it Clare.
No.
Or Bally. Well, there's loads of Ballys.
Yeah, loads of Ballys.
So what other ones are there?
Cavan.
What do you mean, Cavan?
Oh, right, it is Cavan. Well, it's normally County Cavan. It's normally County Cavan.
You were doing so well. You had dropped your clompet credentials at the door today. There they go. Riding over the hill, blowing a trumpet. I'm a clompet.
Right, so go ahead. What else?
I'm trying to think of other cities that we... Well, we shorten Carrick and we shorten Ards.
Is there not a whiskey? Bally Whiskey?
No, what are you talking? No. Are you on the mushrooms or something?
I've never been to Bally Whiskey.
Are we in the same conversation?
Is there Bally Whiskey?
No, there's not!
How do you know? Do you know all the places?
Yes, I named them all. They all came to me to get named.
Right, what else is
so
there?
So there's loads of, you know, multi-syllable towns, but we don't shorten them.
Mm.
I'm asking the listeners now. So we shorten Carrickfergus, we shorten Newton Ards.
Mm.
The town in the northwest, the Maiden City, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
So any other ones?
Is this a trick?
No, I'm asking.
Oh, is this genuine? Sorry, I thought there was a punchline at the end. Sorry.
I mean, up in the northwest, people talk about the pork. for Portrush and Port Stewart, you see. So I'm just wondering, you know, anyway.
Where did you ever get
ask a question?
I was talking about the woman.
Mad woman.
I was talking about the taxi driver in Delhi, and then you started talking about...
London-Delhi.
And you started talking about...
Anyway.
So there's
remember I told you the other week that this is the time of year the warnings start?
Yes, you
when
did.
When the media tries to frighten people?
Yes.
Now, this was on the U105 Facebook page last night. Weather expert gives update on snow in Northern Ireland this month, and there's a picture of a, you know, street covered in snow.
It's probably Canada.
And this weather expert is, you know, going on about, oh, 26 November, we're all going to be digging our way out of...
You said that last week.
Told you that, yeah.
Different newspapers come out with warnings about food,
and
the weather.
And then the next one will be, you're not allowed to call it Christmas. There'll be all that nonsense as well.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Hold on. There's a bally whisking, so there. That's not what you said.
I know, but I was close.
Cross McGlenn gets across, says Stephen.
See, I'm not half as daft as you think I am.
Right, okay. Mm. Ballinahinch gets called the hench.
Does it? What about Ballymena?
Somebody says it gets called the Mina. Fred.
Wow.
Never heard that in my life.
Well, going home to the Mina.
Donegal D gets called the D, says Linda, in the D. Right?
Ah, right, right.
Francis from Crossgar says, I'm heading to Down. That's Downpatrick. No, it's not. Down's the county, Francis, and you live in it. Goodness sake. Jim, a security guard, says, carried off, gets shortened to the Duff.
Does it?
It does. You up to the Duff? Mm. Yeah. No, I'm already up a Duff. Cyan Mills gets called Cyan, says Michael Barr. Mitch says Lisburn gets called the Burn.
Ah.
No, the Burn where we are is Purdy's Burn. You'll put me in the Burns or you will. Ballymurphy gets called the Murph. It does indeed. Castle Derg gets called the Derg. Ah. Right, okay. So these are ones I wasn't aware of. So
I thought that was a pub.
What, the Derg? Derg. Might be.
Oh no, it's the Lamderg. Sorry. Sorry.
It's not a pub, it's a GAA club social club.
Yes.
A pub.
Sorry.
Warren Point gets called the Point, says Stormy. Ballyhackamore gets called Ballyhack.
Ballyhack, yes.
Mark and Carrick Fergus, thank you. Dee from Lurgan says Portadown gets called the Dump. Whoa. No. Yes. Enniskillen gets called Skin Town. Does indeed. Yes. Hold on.
Sorry to everyone living in Portadown.
I know, and there's more about Portadown there. Probably from Lurgan people, you see. You know.
Can I tell you about an alligator?
Moy in Tyrone gets called the Moy. I always wondered about that. Seriously. Don't know. Newton Hamilton is Newton. Yes, Cross McGlenn gets Cross. Anderson's Town gets called Andy Town, says P.D. Paul. Except if you're a Protestant. Our Protestant friends always call it Andy's Town for some reason. And it's like, it's Andy Town. Right, okay, right.
But then some people call it L.A.
L.A. No, it's Lower Andy Town.
Can I tell you about this alligator?
What?
Right, so...
No, it's not funny. I read that. It's not. You're going to flog it. Go ahead.
It's not funny. It's you're talking awful. About words of towns. So, in Florida, they had these mini Olympic games, and you had to compete against a beer-drinking alligator who not only was a beer-drinking alligator full, but he has a rap sheet. I mean, people were joining up to do the games against this alligator. So, what do you think of those onions? I thought
the story was brutal. First time I heard it.
I thought it was funny.
And as for your retelling of it, started badly, faded away in the middle, and the less said about the end, the better. Thank you.
Well, Mum, I thought it was brilliant. Imagine turning up to do the right. We're going to do this, and the alligator's not only an alligator, but he's full as well. Oh, brilliant.
Right, okay.
You don't think that's funny?
No. Well there's somebody from Portadown saying Lurgan gets called Knitsville. Now, there's no call for all of this rivalry. We're all God's children. Even if you do live in Portadown and Lurgan. And don't start me about Lauren. I'm only joking.
I know, you're only joking. Listen, right, there's lots of things.
There's a woman in Belfast in the papers today, right? She was in London. Swanky hotel, And, you know, the menu was, you know, she was having a drink. Mm-hmm. Drinks were pretty dear. And she thought, ah, go for it. You know, why not? We're only here once, you know, we weekend away with her husband. And she was going down the list of cocktails. And she saw one for $18.90, right? And she thought, I'll have one of them, you know. So the guy goes and gets the stuff and comes over and makes a cocktail at her table. And it's a brand new Magnum of such and such champagne, you know, out of the vaults. And there was like a brass band played it coming in. No, it was like, it was all this, you know, like a kid in McDonald's and the staff saying happy birthday. It was like one of these things. People applauding and all, champagne coming out and sparklers and everything, you know, ticker tape falling from the ceiling and balloons. And then the guy starts shaving gold leaf into the cocktail. And then there was like, you know, a drop of brandy that was, you know, left in Napoleon's glass the night before he died. All this exclusive, all these things went into the drink. And she drank it and got her bill. She said it said $18.90 on the menu. It was £1,890.
For a cocktail?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
How did she pay for it?
She didn't. She started crying. She showed it to her husband.
You know, no anyway. Way! No
so
way.
They'd got their dinner and all these other drinks and all, and the bill was £2,000. And she went to the guy and says, hold on, that says £1,890 instead of it. Yes, that's what it cost, madam. Why do you think we made a big fuss? Because nobody ever buys one.
No.
It's called the Emperor's Cocktail or something.
Did you have to pay it?
So she said, while she sat and discussed it with her husband, he said, well, I'm away to bed. You sort it out. Left her sitting there.
Oh, no.
So she was in tears. And fortunately, the hotel, you know, listened to her. And she says, I didn't know. Are you mad? Who's going to pay that? I'm not going to pay it. I can't afford it. So they actually said, it's okay. We'll sort it out. Could you picture the shock getting that bill?
Oh, no. Awful. Absolutely. But surely if someone buys that, would they not check the price with people?
But I know it's said on the... Yeah, well, you would think, you know, excuse me, madam, you do know that's cost £1,890. Mm-hmm. But then again, maybe the...
It's the type of place where people didn't discuss price.
Yes, and they don't want to insult you. Because if you are a millionaire... And someone says, are you aware of the price
of that?
You'd
be furious.
I'll have your job for that, you know. Right. Alan McFedridge says, can't believe you forgot about Port Glenone, known as PG1. Yes?
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, why? Mm-hmm. Oh, why? There's more of these. Hold on. They're getting in the insults. Now, I'm going to have to go.
I already know. I knew something about something else, too. What about the woman in India who was riding on the back of a motorbike and took out her laptop?
Serious?
Apparently, this is not the first time that this has happened, and the video went viral. Can you picture going down the road on the back of a motorbike? Or where's the most unusual place?
Listen, I'd be too frightened of trying to hang on for, you know, grim death. Can you imagine getting your laptop out?
This is a normal occurrence. Awkward. I may as well be doing something to make good use of my time. They're busy people over there. Busy right, people.
Okay. Listen, I may go.
All right,
when
bye-bye.
When are you ruining your own show?
Friday, Saturday and Sunday from 7.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's U105 of the Best. Enjoy more of this kind of thing every weekday on FM, on DAB, on the U105 app, on your smart speaker, and at u105.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.